All right, tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Kisavo. And as the title suggests, the title is Har Grizim, Har Eval, or Har Sinai. The idea of the shiur is that we're going to focus on the experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval in the Torah, and we'll try to analyze the main concept behind Har Grizim and Har Eval. So hopefully when you go to shul and you hear the laning, you'll understand it on a deeper level. So that is the goal of the shiur tonight. And just to preface the shiur, there are some types of shiurim that we ask a lot of questions and then we answer them right away, but there are other types of shiurim, which I've given in the past, where I like to just go through all the facts of the Chumash and just ask as many questions as possible and then try to search for, you know, one theme that is highlighted in that, you know, that piece of Chumash. So tonight I think we're going to just raise all the possible questions that we can, go through all the facts, and then uncover that hidden gem, that one idea behind the whole experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval, and with that we'll try to answer all the, you know, the more particular questions. Okay, so we're going to start with the Psukim in Devarim, Perichav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it's source 1 on the source sheets. The Pasuk says, Vayitzav Moshe Asa'om Bayomahu Lemor. So Moshe commands the people on that day saying, actually the commandment of Har Grizim and Har Eval initially occurs in Parshas Re'eh, and in this week's Parsha, in Kisavo, the Torah goes into detail as to what happens and the whole experience. So we're going to go into the experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval. Okay, in Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Eila yamdu levarech esahom al Har Grizim ba'avrachem es hayarden, Shimon v'levi v'yuda v'yisachar v'yosef v'nyamin. So these individuals, or these shvatim, not individuals, will be blessed, or will be standing to bless the nation on Har Grizim, when they go over the Yarden. Who are they? Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Vinyamin. Ve'ele ya'amdu al ha'klala bahar eval, Reuven, Gad, ve'asher, Uzvulun, Dan, ve'naftali. And then you have another group of Shvatim that are on Har Eval. And who are they? Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, ve'naftali. And then the last pasuk of this part is Ve'anu al-Levi'im, Ve'amru, El-Kol Ish Yisrael, El-Kol Ram. And the Levi'im, they're somehow answering and they're saying to all the individuals there in a loud voice. So we need to look at Rashi in order to get, you know, a better understanding of what this is and what's going on here. So if you look at number 2 in Rashi, it's the Rashi on that pasuk, and it says Levarech Esa'om Kedeisa B'Masech Esota. This whole experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval is mentioned in the Gemara in Sota. So what happened? Shisha shvatim alu l'rosh Har Grizim. There were 6 shvatim that went up to Har Grizim. V'shisha l'rosh Har Eval. And then there were 6 that went up on Har Eval. V'hakohanim v'halevim v'ha'aron l'mata be'emtza. So the kohanim, the levim, and the aron itself were in the middle. They were in the valley in between the two mountains. Hafchu levim pneim klape Har Grizim ufaschu bebracha. Barucha ish asher lo yaseh pesel masecha v'gomer. So first the Levim, they turned their faces to Har Grizim, and they said, blessed is the man who doesn't do avodah zarah, and so on and so forth. Ve'elu ve'elu onen amen. And then everybody would say amen. Chazru v'hafchu pneim klape Har Eval upaschu beklala v'omrim arura ish asher yaseh pesel v'chein kulam ad arura asher lo yakim. Then the Levim would turn their faces to Har Eval, and then they would say, the person who does avodah zarah is a cursed person. Arura ish asher yaseh pesel, v'chein kulam ad arura asher lo yakim. So they would do this throughout the whole entire experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval. So first, with this Rashi alone, I want people to ask questions on this Rashi. You know, what questions naturally emerge about this experience that seem a little bit odd? Anybody want to try on the phone line? What's strange about this? So I think one thing, just to start off with, a question to start off with is, why are we splitting up Klal Yisrael in this experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval? Because we see that in another experience with this, which is similar, by Har Sinai, you have all of Klal Yisrael together. But over here, in this experience, where they're splitting up the Shvatim, and there's 6 Shvatim on one mountain and 6 Shvatim on the other mountain. So the question that, to me, emerges naturally is, why do we have it that Klal Yisrael split up? Why don't you just put everybody on one mountain and have the Levim do their thing to everybody at once? Why do you have to split them up? What's the value of that? What's the purpose of that in terms of the whole experience of Har Grizim and Har Eval? Okay, any other questions? Anybody? On the phone line? I know it's been a while, but Debbie, you have any questions?
And also, how did they split them up? How did, you know?
Okay, good. Okay, good question. So another question, which is a great question. How do we know, or why is it that the Torah decides to split up certain Shvatim and other Shvatim? Is it just random, or is there an idea there? Is there a concept that's highlighted by splitting them up in that way? Okay? That's a good question.
Also, when I was looking at the Pasuk, I was wondering why God and Asher come before...
call my mother. We louder.
Hello? Wait. All right. Hello?
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't hear that. Somebody turned off their mute button for a second. You're saying the order's off too, also. That's a good question.
Yeah, the order in the
Sukkah. Okay, so we have three questions so far. One question is, why do they split up the Shvatim? Another question is, how do they determine which Shvatim go where? And then your question is a good question, what's the order of the Sukkah? Those are all good in terms of the Shvatim. They seem out of order. So those are all good questions. We're going to try to answer them at the end of this year. And sometimes, even though we're going to raise all the questions now, if you want to focus on one question that seems to, you know, to hit you and inspire you, so sometimes it's better to just think about one question and then work from there and try to work outwards. But we're just going to throw out the questions right now. So those are good questions. I think another question is, you know, what is the structure of the Levium and the Kohanim in the middle between the mountains? Why not put the Kohanim and Levium on top of the mountain and teach Klal Yisrael that way? Like by Har Sinai, for example. Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu went up on top of the mountain, and you had the Eish on top of the mountain, and Klal Yisrael were at the bottom of the mountain. But this is the opposite. You have Klal Yisrael split up. They're on the two mountains. And then you have the Levium and the Kohanim in the middle, and they're in the bottom. They're in between at the bottom in the valley. So why not put the Kohanim and Levium on top of the mountain and the Klal Yisrael at the bottom? So to me, that's a strange setup. What's the purpose of that setup? Okay? I know, so that was my first question. Just put everybody... Just put everybody on one mountain. There's two mountains, but why do you need two mountains? Just put everybody on one mountain, and then have the Kohanim and Levium do their thing. You know, whatever this Har Grizim, Har Eval thing is for, just have them do it. Why have two mountains? Why split them up? Why have this whole setup where you have the Kohanim and Levium in the valley in the middle? These are all part of the questions that we have to... understand in terms of gaining insight into Har Grizim and Har Eval. Any more questions you want to throw out? Just throw out any question that comes to your mind about this part.
I should have parked at home. I walked all the way from
Shabbat. Oh, yeah. Here. That happened to me too.
Okay, what's going on?
All right, so we're discussing Har Grizim and Har Eval, okay. And we're just asked a couple questions on immediately. And the first set of questions on the setup of Har Grizim and Har Eval. You have two mountains, and you have Klal Yisrael split up into six Shvatim on one and six Shvatim on the other, and you have the Kohanim Levim in the middle. So we had a lot of questions. Question number one is, why are they being split up? Why not have all Klal Yisrael, you know, together? Why are you putting the Kohanim Levim in the middle? Why not put them on top of the mountain, like you had by Har Sinai, for example? And then also, I think somebody asked the question, why do you have, I think it was Rebbetzin Bald, why do you have it that... that you have six Shvatim, how do you determine which Shvatim go with who? And then you have the last question, which is the Psukim seem out of order in terms of the Shvatim themselves. So we're just going to leave those questions off for now, but those are important questions in terms of understanding the whole experience. And actually, the Chizkuni, which is number three, answers one of the questions, but we're still going to have to analyze it a little bit more. So one of the questions was, you know, how do we determine... Yeah. Yes, sure. Yes, that's a good question. The Gemara actually takes that off. It's a good question. The Gemara says that there were some Levium that were in the middle and there were some Levium on the mountain. But that's a good point. Meaning, how is it that the Levium were in the middle, but the Psukim say that Levi was one of the Shvatim on the mountains? So the Gemara actually says the answer for that is that the Levi was split up, that some of the Levium were down in the middle and other Levium were on the mountain. Okay, good question. Okay, but let's look at number three. This, I think, answers Rebbetzin Bald's question, which is on, you know, the structure of which Shvatim go with who, but I think we're still going to have to answer it a little bit more. So if we look at number three, and Racheli's here, so she won't mind reading. Racheli's going to read it inside, and I'll translate.
Kol ha'omdim al ha'bracha ha'yu b'nei gvirot, v'al yidei sh'b'nei le'ya rabim mumehem ha'katan v'ha'gadol sh'hishlim ha'minyan, al b'nei ha'shvachot sh'le'hayu rak arba'a, v'hayu... Al hakal HaKlala.
Okay, stop. So what's he saying? He's saying that the reason why you had six Shvatim and six Shvatim is that four of the six Shvatim on Har Eval, they were all the sons of the Shvachos, of Bilhah and Zilpah. And then, because you didn't have enough Shvatim, because they have to be equal for some reason, so because you didn't have enough, so they tacked on two of the Shiftei Leah, Reuven, the oldest, and the youngest, Zvulun. So the way the order is that you had the four B'nai Gviros, which are the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, and then you tack on Reuven and Zvulun to them, and then on the other side you have the other sons of Leah, which is a strange thing. You know, why is it cat? The question still remains. Okay, it's very nice. He's giving us a little insight as to why the Shvatim are being categorized that way. But the question is, what does it have to do with Har Grizim and Har Eval? You know, why categorize the Shvatim in terms of B'nai Gviros versus the B'nai Leah, right? So those are the questions on the setup. So this is the first, there's really three components, but the first component is the setup of Har Grizim and Har Eval, and which is very strange. We're going to have to gain insight into, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, everybody good on those? You want me to repeat the questions? If a question strikes you and you want to think about it, just think about it, focus on that one question, and it might open up the whole area. But at first, we're just going to focus on the setup. The next part of Har Grizim and Har Eval in the Torah is what? It's the content of Har Grizim and Har Eval. What exactly took place at Har Grizim and Har Eval? So, like we said, the Levium and the Kohanim... Please put on your mute buttons. Hello?
What just happened?
I don't know. Oh, everybody's here? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's following? We're good?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Rachel came in late, so we won't falter.
No, I think I'm looking.
All right. You're good. All right. So the next part of Har Grizim and Har Eval in this week's Parsha is the actual content of Har Grizim and Har Eval. So if you look at number four, I'm just going to read through them quickly. What did the Levium say to Klal Yisrael in the middle? They said these things in both Baruch and Arar. So if we look at Tesvav in number four, it says, Arur ha'ish asher yaseh pesel masecha to'avas Hashem masei decharash v'sam baseser v'anu kol ha'am v'amru amen. So the first one is, anybody does Avodah Zarah in secret is cursed. And the whole nation said, amen, they agreed. Arur makle aviv imo v'amar kol ha'am amen. So anybody who dishonors his parents also is cursed, and the whole nation says, amen. Arur masei gvul re'ehu v'amar kol ha'am amen. So another one is hasagas gvul. That's another one that's mentioned. Arur mashge iver badarach v'amar kol ha'am amen. So a person who causes a blind person to stumble is cursed, and the whole nation agrees. Arur matem mishpat ger yasom v'almanah v'amar kol ha'am amen. So anybody who affects in a negative way the judgment of a ger yasom v'almanah, so is cursed, the nation says amen. Arur shochevim yeshes aviv ki gilaknaf aviv v'amar kol ha'am amen. Arur shochevim kol be'imav v'amar kol ha'am amen. Arur shochevim achloso bas aviv v'asimo v'amar kol ha'am amen. Arur shochevim chosanto v'amar kol ha'am amen. So those are all arayos. They're all immoral relations, illicit relations. Arur makeh re'ehu b'seser v'amar kol ha'am amen. So anybody that's referring to Lashon Hara in secret. Arur lokech shochad lakos nefesh dam naki v'amar kol ha'am amen. So anybody who takes a bribe is cursed. Arur asher lo yakim es divrei Torah zos lasos osam v'amar kol ha'am amen. So anybody who doesn't confirm or establish the words of the Torah is cursed, and everybody says amen. Okay, so this is the content of Har Grizim and Har Eval. What's different about this content than Har Sinai? By Har Sinai, what was given over? The Aseres HaDibros, right? Over here, these curses and brachos, the Torah doesn't say a bracha inside, but the Gemara says they said it both in Baruch and Arar. These things are given over. So the question is, what is there a theme in these things? Why these things in specific?
But also, like, with Har Sinai, it was more, like, commanded, and the people, like, were forced in a way.
Okay. But this is also commanded. Now, this is also commanded, because it says, Vayitzav Moshe Sa'am Bayomahu Le'mor.
Right, but Ve'amar Kol Ha'am Amin, like, that did not happen in Har Sinai.
Right, that's true. So that's another thing that's strange. Why it's different than Har Sinai in the sense that Racheli is saying that by Har Sinai it was forced on them. There's a famous medrash like Kaf Alam Harki Gigas, right? That by Har Sinai it was the har itself was picked up and lifted over Klal Yisrael. But over here they have the choice. It sounds like, and they're all agreeing to it, amen, without being forced into it. So that's a good point here. It's interesting that that happens here. But so that's we're going to leave that off. It's a good question or good point. Another question is, what's the theme here? Does anybody notice a theme, like a common theme in these things?
They're like social.
They're social, okay.
Mostly. No, not the first
You would
one.
Think, the question is, you would think that if they were all of a sudden going into Eretz Yisrael, and now the Levim and the Kohanim have to give them something instrumental, they would give them the Aseret Dibros over, or give over some, you know, some essential ideas. But these ideas, there's something strange about these ideas. What exactly is the theme behind these ideas? Why are they giving these ideas over at this point in time? Anybody see a theme here? All right. It's okay if you don't see it. All right. But I think that's the question, right? What's the deal with these Arurim, these things? And is there a theme here? And what exactly... It's the same overall question. What's the deal with Har Gerizim and Har Eval? It's a basic question. What's the purpose of this? Why are they giving over these things, these specific Arurim? Why is it being done in this way? It should just be done by, like, the Aseret Dibros. Just tell the people, this is what you have to do. You have to Kabeis Avicha Vesimecha. Keep Shabbos. But these things are strange. They're not really... They don't seem to be referring to those essential ideas. So what exactly are they referring to? Yeah? Yeah, they did. They definitely. Yeah. Yes, exactly. These things are being highlighted and chosen now. But my question is, why are these things being highlighted? Everything was given over at Har Sinai. But the question is, if you understand, we have to understand what the purpose of Har Gerizim and Har Eval was. But this is a key point. Why are these things being highlighted as opposed to us the Aseret Dibros? You know, give over the Aseret Dibros again. You know, if you're going to highlight an essential theme in the Torah, give over those ideas. Why? What is it about these ideas that seem to be so important and so critical at this point? Okay? So, anybody else have any questions? Yeah?
I have another question.
No problem.
You have pointed out that it actually mentions the kolos and not the brachos, even though it does say that they had both.
Yes.
And I have this big recollection of having learned once that the Torah actually prefers to speak in the positive and sometimes even uses the term bracha when it means kala.
I don't think that's the Torah itself. I think that's the Gemara. The Gemara uses it. Yeah. But you're just asking, your question is, why doesn't it mention barach? If the Gemara says that it's...
Or why does it choose to speak of the negative as opposed to the positive? It's going to just choose one.
Okay, good question. All right. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to come back to all the questions. I know it's a little bit confusing, but we're just going to leave off all the questions, and hopefully we'll have, you know, one key concept in Har Gerizim and Har Eval, and then we're going to knock off question after question, okay? So the next point
what,
is...
What's the timeline of Har Gerizim and Har Eval? It was
right after they crossed over the Yarden, so we're talking about, you know, right when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So 38 years after Har Sinai?
Okay.
All right.
It's
so,
not,
yeah. No, you can't ask.
It's not so weird that they might not get the Aseret HaDibros again, and they would get a different set of laws if the nation is taking on a different role, having entered into Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, okay. What are you talking about? What role?
No, I'm just saying, they're going into Eretz Yisrael, so I'm saying, like, obviously their nation is going to change a little bit.
Okay, good. I like that. That's good. So we're going to, you know, keep it to yourself for now, okay? No, but it's a good point. It's a good point. That is a point that we're going to...
Does she know it?
What? I did not... What, does she know?
Prepper.
No, I didn't. I did not prep Debbie Schwartz on the shir, but that is a good point. You're saying that the nation's changing. So that is a key point that we're going to, you know, we're going to build off of. But at first, we're just going to stick with the questions, okay? But that's a good point. All right, so what is the theme here? So if we look at one of the Mefarshim, the Rashbam, in number 5, he tells us what the theme is, okay? So it says, Kol ha'arurim shneimasar keneged shneimasar shvatim. So why are there 12 arurim? They're relative to the 12 shvatim. V'chula averos shiragilim lios beseser. Heim kemoshe afarish bekulam chutz mishnayim shiragilim lios pa'amim begaloi u'pa'amim beseser. So all these averos, they're all averos that are done in secret, in hiding, except for two. Two of the averos mentioned in the klalos, sometimes they're done openly, and sometimes they're done and quiet. Vehain, which ones are they? Avodah Zarah. So sometimes Avodah Zarah is done openly and sometimes in secret. Umake Reu, and also hitting your friend. Ulchach Pirish Bishneim Beseser. That's why the psukim say openly in those psukim Beseser. So if you look in number 4, Tesvav, it says Arura Ish Asher Yaseh Pesel Masecha Toavas Hashem Maseh Decharash V'Sam Baseser. So it says specifically Baseser by that one because that one can normally be done in the open or in hiding. So the Torah is trying to highlight that we're referring to Averos done in secret. Okay? And then he goes on. He explains how each one's done in secret. Shal Averos Shebegoloi Lobo Lekalo. So we're not coming to curse Averos in the open. Ki Beistin Yanshu Alagluyos. Because Beistin, they're going to punish people on things that are done openly. Kimo Shekasu Besof Kolakolos Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu. So like it says at the very end, that the hidden things are for Hashem to punish. So Hashem's going to take revenge on averos done in secret. Aval haniglos, but those that are done in open, it's our job to take care of business in those situations. Malkos, skila, shreifa, harag v'chenek. So we have all the punishments of Beis Din to take care of all the things that are done in the open. Halo tira ain kus of kan arur shochevim eshes rehu. It doesn't say here a person who sleeps with his friend's wife. Kimalo likanes bevayis acherim v'lo yalizu alav. Because if you go into other people's houses, it'll get out that you're an adulterer. So that's why it doesn't mention it, because it's only talking about things that other people won't know about. Makle aviv b'makom beis gidulo. It's in your parents' house, so other people won't know about it. Ein acherim megilin sham, and so on and so forth. He goes through the others to explain how they're all beseser. So the one theme that the Rashbam is pointing out is that all these things are referring to averas done in hiding, in secret. And he just goes through all of them to try to show how they're all done in hiding. But it's still a funny thing, right? The question remains, you know, what is it about secretive averas that have to be stressed at this point? As soon as they're going over into Eretz Yisrael and they cross the Yarden, all of a sudden, the Kohanim and Levim, they have to remind the Jews about things that are done in secret. You know, why are we highlighting things that are done in secret, in specific? Okay? So that is the question. And we're gonna go on a little bit more, and then we're going to finish up a little bit, and then we'll come back, like I said before, in the beginning of the year. Okay? So I hope everybody's following the questions here. We had questions on the setup. I'm just going to just summarize at this point. We had questions on the setup of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. You know, why is it set up that way? And then we have questions on the content. Why is it significant to point out averos that are beseser, that are in secret? Why not point out, you know, the Asaras Adibros or the Ani Mamins? You know, point out essential ideas. Why are we pointing out averos beseser? Okay? And then the last one, which is Chaf Vav. If you look at number 4, Chaf Vav. Can somebody on the phone read this? Anybody? Nicole? Do you mind reading number 4, Pasuk Chaf Vav?
I don't mind.
Thank you.
Arur Asher Lo Yakim Et Zveverin HaTorah Hazol Asoto Tamba Omer Kol Ha'am Amin.
Okay, so that's a strange one, because that's, what is that? It's basically saying...
It encompasses everything.
Right, it encompasses everything. And if you look at Rashi, number 6, he says, Asher Lo Yakim Kan Kalal Es Kol HaTorah Kula V'Kiblu Alehem Ba'ala U'Shvua. So it's referring to the whole Torah, the complete Torah, and Klal Yisrael is accepting it upon themselves through a shvua at this point, through a swear, an oath at this point. But, I mean, the Torah was already accepted at Har Sinai, so they're accepting it again? What kind of thing is that? They already accepted it. They said, the Torah is forever at Har Sinai. V'hodatam l'vanecha v'livnei v'necha yom asher amata l'fnei Hashem b'choriv. So it's for all generations. So all of a sudden now they're going into Eretz Yisrael and they're somehow... How could you be mekabel something that you already were mekabel? It's a strange thing. They already accepted it upon themselves. So, and also, why not just have this one? In other words, why are you having all 12? Just say, Arur Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah Hazot L'Asosam, and that'll take care of everything. Just get to Har Gerizim, Har Eval. You have the Levim standing in the middle, and they point to everybody and they say, you have to keep the whole Torah, which is the last one. Right? Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because they're, like, accepting it as, like, a lifestyle and a system to live by. Because I feel like when you accept particulars, then it's easy to, let's say, keep just those particulars.
Okay.
But when you accept it as a lifestyle and as an identity, then you can't, let's say, in privacy or behind closed doors, do things that go against those principles. Like, when you truly accept it upon yourself, it means that, like, under all circumstances, and you don't delude yourself or others into thinking that you're keeping it when you're not.
Okay.
Like, even in
Racheli's secret, saying it's like a Racheli's. So Racheli's proposing that the idea of secret is that it shows like a stronger commitment, right? That's what you're saying.
A complete commitment.
It's like a complete commitment. Okay. All right.
That it's a lifestyle. It's not just like particular things that you're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody out on the phone. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Actually, the Ramban actually mentions that. So that's a good point. The Ramban actually mentions that. So let's look at the next source. And the Ramban says he compares it to Kima V'Kibla, and he says Asher lo yakim es divrei Torah azos. So let's look at what he says. Kan kolal es kol Torah kula v'kiblu aleim ba'olav v'shvu lashon Rashi. So he quotes Rashi. Fine. Then he says ulfi daiti. So what is this Kabbalah? I think he's trying to explain what Rashi means, because he's taking up our question. They already did accept the Torah. So what are they accepting here? Sheyoda b'mitzvos b'libo. He has to understand and accept the mitzvos in his heart. V'yu b'einov emes. They should be true in his eyes. V'yamin. And he should believe. Sheha'osa osan yelo schar v'tova. That whoever does them will get rewarded. V'ha'over alehen yanesh. So he has to accept schar v'onesh. That's what he's being mekabel. That if you keep the Torah, you will be getting schar, and if you don't, you'll be punished. V'im yichbor ba'achas mehen. If a guy's a kofer in any of them, otia be'inav b'teila l'olam hinehu aror. If they're ever butl, meaning if you don't accept these things or you're a kofer in these things, then you're cursed. Aval im avar achas mehen kigon she'achal achazer v'ashekets l'ta'avaso o shelo asa sukav lulav atzla. So if a guy doesn't, if he eats pig or shkutzim, creepy crawlers, letavoso, because he's desiring them, or he doesn't do the sukkah or lulav because he's lazy, einenu becherem azeh. So that's not what these psukkim are referring to. Ki lo amar kasev asher lo yaseh divrei Torah azos. It doesn't say aror, the person's cursed who doesn't do the Torah. Ela amar asher lo yakim es divrei Torah azos lasos. It's a person who doesn't confirm it to do it, meaning a person who doesn't accept it as being true and doesn't accept the consequences. Kitam kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, just like the idea of kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. V'nehu cherem ha'mordim v'ha'kofrem. It's referring to people. It's a cherem. It's excommunicating people who are rebellious and who are kofrem. Okay, so the Ramban he's mentioning the idea of kimu v'kiblu, and he's saying kimu v'kiblu is not an idea of asiya, but it's an idea of accepting it as a truth. And understanding, he's saying, one of the ideas here is that you were understanding the consequences of the Torah. That if a person does the Torah, then he will be rewarded, and if he doesn't, then he'll be punished. So the Ramban's saying that this is an acceptance of like the scharva onesh of the Torah, of the reward and punishment with regard to the Torah. But it's still strange. It's the same question that we're going to ask throughout. You know, why is this important at this point? You know, why is this being highlighted? At least the scharva onesh aspect. Why is this being highlighted now that they're going into Eretz Yisrael? Okay, and we have one more point, and then we're going to try to get to all the answers and the main concept, which is in source number 8. And I don't want to go through all the psukim, but I put the psukim out of order. The reason why I put them out of order is because the psukim are different than the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos have these psukim, meaning Aleph through Ches. They have it at coming last. So I put the psukim and the shir in the order of the Mishnayos. So after this whole experience, there's one more part, which is that they brought korbanos. If you look at Vav in number 8, it says, Avanim shlemos tivnes mizbeach Hashem elkecha v'alisal of olos l'Hashem elkecha. So just like Har Sinai, at Har Sinai there was korbanos. Here too there's korbanos. And then they dismembered the mizbeach. And they did a funny thing. If you look at number Ches, it says the Chasafta al Ha'avanim es kol divrei Torah azos be'er hetev. So they took the avanim of the mizbeach, they disassembled the avanim, and then they wrote the Torah on it be'er hetev. So the question that emerges is, what is this idea of be'er hetev, and why are they writing the Torah over here on these stones? So this last point, I just wanted to see the Ramban. So the Ramban says, what is the meaning of be'er hetev? The Chasavta alein es kol divrei Torah azos. Amar Rabbi Avram b'shem Gaon. So the Ibn Ezra shekasav alein minyan hamitzvos kemo aksuvos behilchos gedolos gein hazharos. V'tam be'er hetev aksiva. So one idea is that they didn't write the whole Torah, but they wrote a list of all the mitzvos, And the idea of Be'er-Hetev is that the ksiva was written clearly. It was a very clear ksiva. Okay, V'rabosenu amru b'shivim lashon. There's a Gemara that says that, what does it mean that on these stones it was written Be'er-Hetev? It was written in 70 languages. So, all different types of languages. U'matzinu b'sifrei ta'agi. This is the most interesting to me. In the Sefer, he saw Shahaisa kol ha-Torah k'suva b'hen mi'breishas ad le'enei kol Yisrael b'ta'agiyah v'ziyuneha. So the whole Sefer Torah is written on these stones with all their crowns. Every letter, or a bunch of letters in the Sefer Torah, have specific crowns. U'misham netzku hatagin b'chol ha-Torah. And from these stones, they were copied. All the particular crowns of the letters were copied. And so this stone, these stones were really used as a template to copy Sefer Torah from. They must have been very big. Or it must have been a nes, right? But the question on this is, what was the purpose of this? Why did they write down all the Sefer Torah? And it has to fit in with the whole theme of Har Grizim and Har Eval. So just to summarize, now we're going to get to the theme. We have three parts to Har Grizim and Har Eval. You have the setup of Har Grizim and Har Eval, where everybody was positioned. Then you have the content, which is this idea of seser, of secretive averos, and also the concept of accepting schar v'onesh. And then you have this last concept of writing the Sefer Torah on these stones afterwards, and putting these stones as almost like a monument on top of Har Grizim and Har Eval with the Sefer Torah. And on this specific Sefer Torah had all the specific crowns of all the letters, and it was copied off of. Okay, so these are the main points of Har Grizim and Har Eval. But now I want to hear, like, maybe there's like a main theme here going on. So sometimes, like I said, sometimes it's important to, you can focus on one of the questions and maybe that'll give us some insight, or you can try to just answer everything at once if you want to. So anybody have any insight into, maybe you just try to answer one question. Does anybody, are the questions clear?
It's like kind of strengthening. What they've heard on Har Sinai, in a sense, it is 4 years later, going with what Debbie said. There's a new generation, and nothing's really been written down, and it doesn't hurt to repeat information.
Okay.
Especially right before you're going into Eretz Yisrael.
But why this information? Why this information?
It's secret. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It kind of, I guess, reinforces that, like, even things you don't think are being seen or done, you know. Okay. Are things that you should, you know, be careful of what you're doing, how you're acting.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
But it's just reinforcing their commitment to Torah.
I know, but if you want to reinforce the commitment to Torah, so then say the Aseret Dibros again, you know? Or, like, redo Har Sinai in Israel form,
obviously,
you know?
Obviously, these actions are happening also, I would guess.
Okay.
These are happening.
Okay.
But there's some kind of problem going on in this generation.
But they didn't do any. They didn't get there yet. I mean, this was right after they crossed over the Yarden, immediately after their chayev to do Har Grizim and Har Eva. So they didn't really set up their society yet. They didn't really conquer anything yet. So it can't be that it was rampant.
But as a preventive measure.
A preventive. Okay. I mean, all right. So. Anybody else want to give it a shot? Just answer, you know, like I said, if you answer one question, it might open up the whole area.
I think that one point would be that they're going from kind of being nomads and not really having a place that's theirs to having property.
Good.
Feeling like they have a...
Good.
A place that's theirs and maybe some privacy.
Good. Okay, good. All right, I like the approach. I like it. So I think Miriam's saying that there's something about how where they're coming from. They're coming from one thing and they're going into another thing, right? Okay, so I like that. That's a good starting point that we're gonna work off of. Anybody else have a possibility? Rachel, you wanna try? I know you tried the Besaser idea. You said it's like an idea of a stronger commitment.
After this, were they gonna have to conquer the land?
Yeah, this was before. So this whole experience occurred before they set up their society. So it was like, you know, it was a little musser here. But the question, like I said, why these things? And just let's try to get a you know, that one insight that explains a lot of the other questions. All right. So I think I'm gonna start with the answer. I'm gonna go with what Miriam was saying, right? So what's happening here So they're, and I think Debbie was also mentioning this too. So I want to give credit to where credit's due. So I think the one idea is that there is a transition here from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, right? And there are certain aspects of the Midbar that were helpful and conducive to keeping Torah. And now when they go into Eretz Yisrael, some of those things changed and were removed. And they become a threat to maintaining the Torah and keeping the Torah society in Eretz Yisrael, right? So perhaps just the beginning of the approach is that the purpose of Har Grizim and Har Eval is to address the threats that emerge in transitioning from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, okay? So we're going to try to explain that a little bit further, okay? But it's I was trying to think of an example, but it's hard to think of an example. I was thinking of like a kid, when a kid goes from his house to camp, you know, to sleepaway camp. So when he's in his house, he acts a certain way, and there are certain measures in place to keep the kid disciplined, hopefully, if you keep a disciplined home. But then when a kid goes to camp, so the environment changes. And once the environment changes, a lot of the things in place that keep the child in a certain with certain behaviors and disciplined, they go away. So sometimes, you know, the counselor or the head of the camp has to give a speech to the kid to try to remind them, you know, what things went away and how to maintain discipline in the camp. So we have these situations all the time where, I don't know if that was a good example, it probably wasn't a good example, but we'll try to apply it to the Midbar and Eretz Yisrael. So I think we're going to go back, okay? So one of the things that was helpful to keeping the Torah in the Midbar was the unity of Klal Yisrael, right? So in the Midbar, so all of Klal Yisrael, they were all encamped in this formation of the Degalim, and they pretty much were next to each other, and they were all together. But now you go into Eretz Yisrael, and what happens? So everybody gets their own land, and once you get your own land, you start dividing up. And division in Klal Yisrael is a negative, is a threat to the Torah, to maintaining the Torah, right? Would everybody agree to that? So the idea, I think the first idea we're going to go back to is the setup of Har Eval, Har Grizim and Har Eval. So one of our questions was, you know, why is it that we're setting it up that it's six Shvatim on one side and six Shvatim on the other side? Why not have all of Klal Yisrael together like it was in the Midbar? So I think to answer that, if you have this one concept that the Torah and the Har Grizim and Har Eval are trying to address the threats to the Mesorah and to the Torah that emerge and going from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael, so one of those threats is the division of Klal Yisrael. So there's a recognition in Har Grizim and Har Eval that Klal Yisrael is no longer united. So it's true, we have to recognize that in accepting, whatever they're accepting at Har Grizim and Har Eval, there has to be a recognition that there now will be a division in Klal Yisrael, and that is a threat to the Mesorah, and now they have to accept the Torah with this in mind, with knowledge of the fact that dividing is potentially a threat. Right? Okay? So now the question is, one of the questions that was raised was, what's this division of the Shvatim? You know, how are we dividing it up? And also, why are the Levim in the middle and lower than everybody else? Right? So I think we can answer those questions based on this premise. So the premise is that we're trying to highlight the fact that Klal Yisrael is no longer completely united as they were in the Midbar, and they're somewhat divided now in Eretz Yisrael. So that division is reflected in Har Grizim and Har Eval. But the point of the B'nai Gviros, so the Chizkuni that we saw, he says that they're divided up, that four of them are the sons of the Bilhah and Zilpah, and then they tacked on Reuven and Zvulun. So I think the idea is a simple idea, that people tend to identify with other people who come from a similar place. So the idea is that the division in Klal Yisrael that will take place is a division based on natural bonds. And certain Shvatim naturally bond to one another, and other Shvatim bond to other Shvatim. So the Torah is just demonstrating through the split up of the Shvatim that certain Shvatim will be bonded together, like the B'nai Gviros, and other Shvatim will be bonded together, like the B'nai Leah. So the idea is to reflect the fact that we recognize that Klal Yisrael will be divided, and the divisions will occur based on natural bonds. And certain Shvatim will bond with others, and others won't. So that's the idea. And
in that case, then why weren't Yosef and Binyamin attacked as opposed to the Bnei Leah, keep both Bnei Leah all together?
That's a good question. I mean, I think there's also like there's a psychological relationship also, that you feel like, you know, like all the B'nai Gviros, they feel proud of the fact that they're B'nai Gviros. Whereas by the other ones, by Leia and Rachel, they were the Imahos. So there's a certain pride there. So that's also another form, that's another reason to form a bond with other Shvatim. But I'm just, yeah, so that's how I'd answer the question. But the point is that, the main point is that the Torah is picking these people in specific because they're trying to highlight the fact that Shvatim will bond with one another, certain Shvatim, and other Shvatim will bond with others. And that's okay, that's just part of, that's naturally part of moving into Eretz Yisrael. It's going to happen. So the idea is that we recognize it's going to happen, but we need to address it. We need to see it as a potential threat, and we need to address it as soon as we go into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the idea of splitting them up, that they're no longer united. You can't have them in the same way Har Sinai occurred, but you have to have them split up. Now, what's the idea of the Levium in the middle? Okay, so I think that fits in as well. It fits into the same concept. The concept is that really by Har Sinai, as opposed to Har Sinai, where the Torah was given Mipia Gvura, and the reason why Har Sinai occurred on a mountain and God was on top of the mountain was to reflect the fact that there was a barrier between man and God, and that there were actual barriers, and Klal Yisrael weren't allowed to break through by Har Sinai. Why? Because there's a limit to man's knowledge, and they weren't allowed to see God, and they weren't allowed to see, so to speak, see God as they were capable of. So there's a limit to man's knowledge. But over here, by Har Gizim or Har Eval, the whole idea of the Levim and the Kohanim being below them is that they were accessible. And there's an accessibility, as opposed to Har Sinai, where there's a lack of accessibility to God directly, and the Torah was being given over, panim b'panim, from God. Here, the Torah is being given over within this new structure of Klal Yisrael, and the Levim and the Kohanim are really the teachers, but the idea of them being lower is an idea of accessibility, that all of Klal Yisrael are able to access them when they want to, and there is not this barrier that existed by Har Sinai. Okay, so I think that's the main idea of the setup. So we just addressed the setup. The idea of the setup is to reflect the threat of division of Klal Yisrael. So in addressing it, there's a new structure to the society in terms of like who the teachers are and how the teaching is going to come about. And we're also recognizing in the setup that certain Shvatim will bond with other Shvatim. But as I said before, the main concept of Har Gizim and Har Eval is that it's supposed to address the transition from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael and address some of the potential threats to the Mesorah and the Torah that exist in going into Eretz Yisrael. So one of the first threat I think that's addressed is the idea of division. So that has to be reflected in the experience of Har Gizim and Har Eval. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I still like the selection of Zulun and Reuven to be with the B'nai Gviros.
Yeah, I mean,
is that like arbitrary, or is that like,
I think so. I think that was arbitrary, but just I don't, to show, I mean,
it would be like a separation.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, I think so.
Royalties would be,
yeah,
drawn.
Yes. That's what I think. That's, I don't know. If you have a different svara, then, but that's what I think the svara is. Okay, so I think that's the first idea. Now, what about the idea? How do we explain the idea of Seser and the idea that the Ramban was saying that they're trying to accept Schar V'Onesh here? They're not. The whole idea is to accept the consequences. How does that fit in? So now, what exactly was a significant change from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael and vis-a-vis the Hashgacha? What was the big change? So in the Midbar, the Hashgacha was much more manifest, right? So in the Midbar, there were incredible Nisim. Whenever Klal Yisrael sinned in the Midbar, they were punished openly, right? But in Eretz Yisrael, the way it works is that the Hashgacha that occurs is more hidden, right? It's secretive. Like, for example, if a person's a sinner, so they might not get their crops might be affected. Or if they're a sinner, they might die in a natural way, which will be perceived as a natural way, but is really Hashgacha. So another idea of strengthening the Torah and going into Eretz Yisrael is there's a recognition that without the Hashgacha being an open Hashgacha, there are certain threats now to the Torah. So the idea is that Klal Yisrael, they have to reaffirm the idea of Schar V'Onesh. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, there is no open Hashgacha. The Hashgacha is more secretive. Yes, of course, we say that in Eretz Yisrael, the Hashgacha is stronger, but it's still not apparent in every situation. So the idea of the specific Arurs and Baruchs is that they're showing Klal Yisrael that even though the Hashgacha won't be manifest, there will be Hashgacha there. And Klal Yisrael have to accept that, because if they don't accept that, there's a danger there. There's a danger that they're going to commit these Averos. A person will commit an avera b'seser if they think that they won't be punished, if they think that God is not omniscient and he's not watching. But the idea of the Arur and the Baruch is that it's supposed to address the idea that the transition from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael, in that the Midbar, there was an open Hashgacha, and now in Eretz Yisrael, the Hashgacha is not going to be as open. So that change manifests itself in Averis B'Seser. So now this, the purpose of Har Grizim and Har Eval is to address that, and to make sure and to bolster in Klal Yisrael the idea that the Hashgacha still remains, and that the Hashgacha is not gone. Okay? Make sense? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The cloud and the fire was with them. Exactly. I think that's why the Ramban also says, that's why we're worried about Kfira here more. Because they didn't have, when you have the Hashgacha there and you have the Shechina with you and you see the ideas of the Esh and the Anan constantly, you're constantly being bombarded, so there's not as much of a worry of Kfira, of denying the Torah and the mitzvos and the truth of them. But now when you go into Eretz Yisrael and the Hashgacha isn't there, so that's when the threat, that underlying threat emerges. So the idea of the Levim and the Kohanim and Har Grizim and Har Eval is that they're trying to address that threat. They're trying to make sure and ensure that Klal Yisrael are aware of it and that they accept upon themselves these ideas and these truths. Okay? So what about the last idea? The last idea is an idea in the Chasafta Alein Es HaTorah, right? On the Avonim. So I think that's perfect. That fits in. Why? Because as the Ramban says, part of the idea is that we have to preserve the Torah Shebichsav. And when you have, as we said before, when you're going into Eretz Yisrael and you have division of people and the Torah is being spread out, there's a worry, there's a nervousness there that the Torah, the Ksav of the Torah is going to be lost and the essence of the Torah is going to be lost. So the idea at the end of Har Grizim and Har Eval is that they have to create a situation whereby the Torah is preserved, the Ksav of the Torah is preserved. So that's what the Ramban's saying, that this Torah, this Ksiva on the stones was used for generations and generations to copy off of. Why? That way we ensure that the Mesorah of the Ksav of the Sefer Torah is fermented and will be preserved by Klal Yisrael for all generations. So I think that fits in beautifully. So now I think that explains the whole structure of Har Grizim and Har Eval. So let me just summarize the points made. Basically, the main question is, what's the deal with Har Grizim in terms of the setup of Har Grizim, and we have the content, and then we have this strange thing at the end where you write all the Sefer Torah on the Avonim, on these big Avonim, so that everybody can copy off of. But I think with this one idea, it makes sense. Why? Because really, Klal Yisrael, they were transitioning from an environment of the Midbar, which was conducive to keeping the Torah, to an environment of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, which lacked certain elements of the Midbar, which were threats to the Mesorah. So the idea of Har Grizim and Har Eval is that it's trying to address those threats. It's trying to address the threat of division. It's trying to address the threat that the Hashgacha is not with them openly. And now they have to recognize that Tzchar V'Onesh exists, even in secret, and they have to accept the Torah and they have to reject Kfira. And then the last idea is that at the end of Har Grizim and Har Eval, they have to set up a way to preserve the Ksav of the Torah for all generations. How do they do that? They write that on the stones, the Avonim Gedolos, of Har Grizim and Har Eval to demonstrate that. So that explains the whole purpose of Har Grizim and Har Eval, I think, is explained very nicely with that concept. With the concept that we're trying to address, it's not a replication of Har Sinai. It's that we recognize that Har Sinai was really an acceptance of Torah for all generations, but now when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we have to recognize and accept that the transition from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael poses a threat to the Torah. And we need to address those threats, and we have to have Klal Yisrael accept the Torah under with the knowledge that these threats exist, and nevertheless accept the Torah under these conditions. So I think that's that explains Har Grizim and Har Eval. Anybody have any questions on the Shir? Or any other points? I don't think I answered every particular question, but I think I answered the major questions that we asked. Okay? Oh, I think that's the idea of the Hashgacha. I think that fits in, because you see, it's not just negative Hashgacha, but there's positive Hashgacha too. So the idea is that in the Klal Yisrael accepting Schar V'Onesh, they have to have the full picture. They have to have the picture of the good and the curse, the bracha and the curse. So that's the idea. If they were just presented with the curse, they would be lacking in terms of their complete knowledge and acceptance of Schar V'Onesh in this situation. So I think that's the... All right. There's a party going on out here. Sorry about that.
What are the brachos?
Oh, the brachos are just the flip side of the arrows. So as Rashi said in the beginning, it says, instead of saying arur ha'ish asher yaseh pesel masecha, so before that they would say baruch ha'ish asher lo yaseh pesel masecha. So they're the exact same thing as the arur, but I think the idea of it is to give Klal Yisrael the full gamut of schar v'onesh. You can't just tell them that they're going to be cursed. You have to tell them that there's also bracha, because they're accepting upon themselves hashgacha and schar v'onesh in the context of Eretz Yisrael. So they have to have the full picture. All right? All right, so that's... All right, thank you. So everybody, have a good Shabbos, and thanks for calling in, and...
Thank you.
All right, have a good Shabbos. Bye-bye.
Welcome back.
Thank you.